Arizona Cardinals football, 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Big Red Monday, presented by Sanderson Ford with Bickley and Murata.
Not much, just excited for our guys. You know, they battled. We lost the turnover margin. Throw one pick going in, throw a pick six, and then rough the punter on a third down that extends a drive. I mean, on a fourth down that extends a drive and still find a way to win. That's hard to do in this league. So I was proud of their fight. We got a lot we got to clean up. Wasn't nearly good enough, but they fought hard.
It's Cliff Kingsbury after the Cardinals did just that, kept fighting. They walk away with a 34-33 win over the Minnesota Vikings yesterday at State Farm Stadium. Big Red Monday continues here on Bickley and Murata Mornings, and that means we open up the phone line 602-260-9870 to give you the opportunity to sound off on what you saw, what you liked, what you didn't like about the Cardinals' win over the Vikings. And we start off with George in Tempe, who's up first here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Hi, George.
Hey, well, you know, you said it last week, I think. We didn't deserve this win, but deserve's got nothing to do with it. So I'll take it. And as another great coach said, you can learn just as much by winning badly as you can by losing. So let's try and learn from this. But boy, oh boy, we got to tighten a lot of things up. I mean, the good news is the defense, they did tighten things up in the second half, so I think they're okay. The offense looked really, really good, except for, you know, play calling, which is continuing to be an issue. And I'm not sure what to do about it because you can't fire the head coach, or maybe you can, but who's ever fired a head coach after being 2-0? So we got to do something to tighten that up. That last sequence was one of the ugliest things I've ever seen. I'm just happy it turned out the way it did, and let's move on and enjoy this crazy wild ride we're going to have.
Thanks, George. Appreciate it. Yeah, you know, it's funny George brought that up because I had that Bruce Arians quote rattling through my head coming into this segment. You can learn just as much by winning a game that you probably shouldn't win as you can by losing.
It's a fine line. If you as a football team say what we do best is put our quarterback in the shotgun and go four wide receivers, and if you make a couple of completions, you run the clock out, you're taking a knee, and everyone's raving about how aggressive you were. John Harbaugh last night on fourth down, for instance. I do agree that this head coach has got, I think he's got some anxiety issues when it comes to play calling in big, tight situations. But this is not all on him. That first down play, Kyler Murray broke containment, ran the ball out of bounds. That's
absolutely.
You don't need to stop the clock right there.
No. So, but then they throw on second.
Yeah, and then there was that. So that's exactly right. And you're right. There's some conventional football that I do think has a lot of value. I do think a lot of coaches still overvalue the punt and are not aggressive in situations where they can be. But in the situations of making a team burn their timeouts, that's very valuable.
Absolutely.
Because then you're giving the team on the other side no control over a running clock.
Something's got to burn, either the time or the timeouts, and neither
Something's
one burns.
Something's got to burn.
There.
I like that.
Tom and Gilbert's up next here on Bickley and Murata Mornings. Hey, Tom.
Good morning, gentlemen. I hope you are having a fine Monday morning. This is what it feels like. To actually win a game you shouldn't have won on a kick that was a chip shot and missed. It's just weird to be on the other side for once. Here's one of the things that just drives me nuts, specifically on Cliff Kingsbury and the Cardinals.
Kingsbury.
Yeah, right. Kingsbury, that guy. I think the opposition's game plan is going to go something like this. Wait for them to make their personnel changes in their quote-unquote hurry up, and then let's jog on the field and force them to run the play clock all the way down to zero. It's just happening way too much. If you're going to run hurry up, if you're going to put D-Hop on the left side of your formation and let him grow roots over on that side of the field, then quit switching personnel. If you think what you have on the field is your best 11 and you're going to go to work, run it. But they keep doing these little weird, quirky personnel changes and then the defense jogs out. It's driving me insane. But we won. Unbelievably. You guys have a great day.
Thanks, Tom.
My morning shift.
Thanks, Tom. Appreciate it. Good stuff from Tom. We'll keep it going. 602-260-9870. Kellen is in Phoenix. He's up next here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Hey, Kellen.
Bickley and Murata, always great to be part of the best radio show of all time.
Nice.
Thanks for having me on. So a couple of things. So early on in the first quarter, both 2 weeks in a row, we've seen this team hit with some early penalties. I think yesterday I was at the game. My voice is still recovering a little bit. But we had a false start, go into a early timeout call, and then another false start right after the timeout. And I'm thinking, here we go again.
Mm-hmm.
Early penalties are going to kill us. But unlike last year, it seems like this team is figuring it out and recovering from it and improving. And then another thing I wanted to talk about is how much I think Steve Keim hit the nail on the head with this guy, Rondale.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I was at in 2015, David Johnson's first home game, and I can remember hearing people in the crowd talking about this new guy, David Johnson, and how excited they were. And the similarities from what I'm hearing in the crowd about Rondale Moore, it's extremely similar. And one play that I can't get out of my head that I don't think is getting enough attention was the play before the end of the first half, and I talked about this yesterday on the radio, where Rondale Moore, he caught the ball, and we were just trying to get it far enough down the field with enough time to kick a field goal. And instead of going out of bounds when he caught the ball, he kept it inbounds, and I'm thinking, get out of bounds, get out of bounds. And he runs it for, I think it was another 10 yards or so, and then got out of bounds with a second left to set up Matt Prater for the franchise record-setting field goal, and I think that play needs some more attention. So I just want to say I'm excited about this team and glad with where we're heading.
Yeah,
thanks,
yeah,
Kellen.
That 62-yard field goal from Matt Prater was something else, and it would never have even happened if not for Rondale Moore.
Rondale Moore has been fantastic.
He's been really good. Yesterday was one of those games that kind of flashed. Like I said, if there's an element of this offense that I think Cliff Kingsbury's done a lot of scheming around, it's that guy. And they're using him properly. I think yesterday was a real breakout game. That was everything we wanted Andy Isabella to be, and he's got legit 4.3 speed.
Yeah, absolutely. Time for one more. Brandon in Santan Valley is up next here on Bickley and Murata Mornings. Hey, Brandon.
Hey, good morning, guys. Just kind of want to state the obvious. Kyler Murray has been playing awesome. I think his tenacity, just his poise, and just his ability to remain calm, you can definitely see that he's grown since the past couple seasons. You know, you see him on the sidelines after mistakes are made, and he's not getting angry or, you know, throwing fits on the side. You know, he's staying calm. And even with all the mistakes yesterday, I think that he played a fantastic game. Rondale Moore is going to be an absolute stud this season, and I'm just super excited to go to this next game that we got coming in October. So have a good day, guys. Bye.
Thanks, Brandon. Appreciate it. Yeah, there was a lot to be excited about, but the Cardinals themselves said it afterwards that you walk away from a game like that and you're relieved that you got the win. Plenty of stuff to focus on in practice this week to clean up because they got two road games the next 2 weeks, Jacksonville. Talk about being bi-coastal. Jacksonville 1 week and L.A. the second week.
Yeah, there's a lot about Kyler Murray and what I've seen the first couple of weeks that excites me tremendously. Everything we said about him and the ability to lift this team above all its flaws and above everybody in the NFC West, it applies. And he's showing bits. He's showing a control over the game that he hasn't had before. And to me, the coolest thing was after the game was over, somebody asked him flat out, you know, how different do you feel? And his response was night and day. I see everything now.
Mm-hmm.
The last part of the quote hit me right between the eyes. When a quarterback says, I see everything now, that's a breakthrough.
Absolutely. Text gate to 620-620. Register to participate in the Arizona Sports Ultimate Virtual Tailgate Experience fueled by M-Drive. Join your favorite Arizona sports host before the Cards game this Sunday, and you'll have the chance to win amazing prizes, including tickets to an upcoming game, autographed memorabilia, and much more. Once again, that's GATE, G-A-T-E, to 620-620. Coming up next, it wasn't quite the same defensive performance for the Cardinals as it was in Week 1, so we'll get into the performance on that side of the ball straight ahead. It's Bickley and Murata Mornings on this Big Red Monday, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Arizona Cardinals football, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Big Red Monday, presented by Sanderson Ford, with Bickley and Murata.
Not sure. I have to look at the film. Felt like, you know, Dalvin did a good job cutting back on our defense, and you know, we've got to get penetration. We've got to be square. you know, not get gapped linebackers, you know, up front seven. So, you know, we'll have to look at the tape. But obviously, you know, when they come out and had, what, 150, 160 in the first half, that's not good. Not good football.
Jordan Hicks, middle linebacker of the Arizona Cardinals, yesterday talking about the defensive effort on why the run defense got gashed after it dominated against Tennessee in week one. And let's face it, too, Bic, part of that was Cardinals jumped out to a 17-0 lead in that game.
Yep.
It changed the way Tennessee viewed that contest. They never really got untracked offensively. It was a different story yesterday. The Vikings jumped on the Cardinals 7-0, and then they're up 20-7 at one point. They had a little bit more in terms of comfort on what they wanted to do, and they ran the ball. Now, if you want a silver lining or something to be positive about the defensive performance yesterday, it was that the second half was much different from the first. The only touchdown the Vikings scored in the second half was a pick six. The Cardinals gave up 3 points on defense, and it, you know, maybe could have been six if that last field goal goes through. So there was improvement, but it was a little bit disheartening to see them just get absolutely gashed in the run game.
Yeah, no, that's I think that was one of the big takeaways from yesterday. I think we all kind of went into week two wondering just how good this defense was going to be after what we saw from Chandler Jones. Remember, against the Titans, Chandler Jones had a historic day, but the defensive line pressured Ryan Tannehill on 41% of his dropbacks. That's an absurd number.
Mm-hmm.
So we came out of week one wondering, could the defense be as dominant as the offense? And if that were the case, you know, buckle up in a good way. I think yesterday sort of exposed the Cardinals' defense for what they are, a mixture of good and a mixture of youth and a team that's not nearly as dominant as they looked against Tennessee.
Remember the poll we did last week? We were asking the audience which will be more dominant, the offense or the defense, and the defense won with like 56% of the vote.
Mm-hmm.
That seems kind of silly now, just a week later.
Well, what's even sillier is the fact that for all that went down between Steve Keim and Jordan Hicks, Zaven Collins didn't even start yesterday.
Jordan Hicks played 97% of the defensive snaps. Zaven Collins played 41%.
That's turning out to be the biggest non-story after we spent so much time in the offseason on what the linebacker situation was going to do. It's crazy how it's turning out now.
Yeah. It's Simmons and Hicks almost predominantly now at those inside linebacker spots.
Yeah. And I think this is a fascinating thing. I really do, because when I think about internally what is going on with this football team, you wonder really what's in the air here. Because after the game, Jordan Hicks spoke with the media, and he was wonderfully candid about how hard it was getting screwed over, which is what his words, not mine. And he even said that at some point in time down the road, I'm going to be really proud of myself at the way I handled the situation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't easy, you know, because in some respect, you feel like you're getting screwed over, and you have no clue what is going to happen. But again, you know, I have faith, man. I've played this game long enough and understand that things happen along the way, and you know, I've got two kids, right, two boys, and you know, when I look back on the way I handled this, I'm proud. You know, I'm going to be proud because not once did I waver in my faith, in you know, my approach to the game and my approach to my teammates, right? And I, at the end of the day, I made the most of the opportunity.
Yeah, he should be proud of the way he's handled it. I still believe, and I'll always believe, it was a misstep by the organization
even
to come out and make proclamations.
Oh, without a doubt.
Yeah. Because now you're asking, people are asking questions, all right, what's going on with Zaven Collins? How has he not been able, the guy that was handed the job, how has he not been able to unseat Jordan Hicks, who was almost traded? I mean, we'll have more on that coming up, but we got to hit some D-backs action from yesterday.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. D-backs Daily. Brought to you by America Roofing, Arizona's number one roofer, online at americaroofingco.com. For a free estimate or 10% off any roof repair, that's americaroofingco.com.
Now, series finale in Houston against the Astros. Carlos Correa started things off for the Astros. 3-run bomb in the bottom of the first inning gave them a 3-0 lead off of Zach Gallen, and the Diamondbacks slowly started chipping away. In the third, Paven Smith.
There's a drive to right. And that ball's going to get on out of here. Home run for Pavin Smith. And it's a 3-1 ball game. First Diamondback hit. They get a run with it. Smith's 11th of the year.
Then in the fourth, Carson Kelly singles in David Peralta to make it 3-2. Later in the fourth, Dalton Varsho, who's been on fire since the All-Star break, he singles, scores Cole Calhoun, and we're tied at 3. And then Christian Walker completed the not only completed the comeback, but gave the Diamondbacks a lead with another base hit.
First pitch to Walker is lined to right. That's a base hit. It'll score one. It'll score two as Varsho comes to the plate. And now the throw down to second. Not time to get Walker. And the Diamondbacks have put up four in the inning, and they have a 5-3 lead here over Houston and Greinke.
Yep, Greg Schulte on the call there. And like we talked about last week, it seemed like every time the Diamondbacks scored a run in the top half of an inning, the opposition would come back and score in the bottom. And that was the case in the fourth. Kyle Tucker doubled to right center. Correa scored. It's 5-4. In the fifth, Cole Calhoun had a sacrifice fly to center, scoring Josh Rojas. Two-run lead going into the meat of the game. But the bullpen for the D-backs couldn't hold it.
Here again, the 2-2 pitch to Siri. And a fly ball to left. And he got all of it, and he's tied the game at 6.
Yeah. Hey, Siri, how do you erase a lead? By Jose Siri hitting a two-run home run. And then it got worse on the next batter.
McCormick, a deep drive to left. Is that going to go? Yeah. Back to back. And it's a lead now for the Astros of 7-6.
And they would hold it 7-6. The final Astros take 2 of 3 as the D-backs couldn't push across another run in the game. Man, it's just like a broken record with that bullpen.
Oh, yeah, you could say that again. So where do you think they're going to finish? 112 losses?
We got 101 right now.
We got 101 now.
48 and 101. That's 113 games left. Does that sound right?
Sounds about right.
Yeah.
Probably 2-11.
Oof.
Yeah.
Oof-da! And they're back home to take on the Braves. Four-game series starts tonight at Chase Field. There you go. There's D-backs Daily. We'll talk more Cardinals and NFL. Lorenzo Alexander is going to join us next. Spickley and Marotta Mornings, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
You've been listening to D-backs Daily, brought to you by America Roofing, Arizona's number one roofer, online at americaroofingco.com. For a free estimate or 10% off any roof repair, that's americaroofingco.com. Arizona Cardinals football, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Big Red Monday, presented by Sanderson Ford, with Bickley and Marotta.
Yep, Cardinals survive. I think that's the right word. 34-33, they beat the Minnesota Vikings in one of the more entertaining games of the weekend in the NFL. Here to talk about it with us, our buddy Lorenzo Alexander, NFL analyst, joins us here on Bickley and Marotta Morning. Zo, how are you?
I'm doing great. I didn't win in my fantasy league, but I'm doing great. The Cardinals won. The Bills won. It was a good weekend.
How bad did you lose in your fantasy game, Lorenzo?
Well, I'm down by 7 points right now, and he still has, I think, Devontae Adams still hasn't played. I think don't they play tonight or something, Monday Night Football?
They do, yeah.
Yeah, so he's won, and it's a little kid, too. It's like an 8-year-old, you know, that's beating me. So that's that makes it even worse. Yeah, I'm playing like my son's flag football league.
Yeah. All right, when you take a look as a defensive player who made a living chasing around quarterbacks, what are you seeing from Kyler Murray? Because I can imagine the frustration defenses are having chasing this cat around, not being able to get him, and now he's just making lethal plays out of nothing.
Yeah, I mean, I've faced some of the great ones, you know, throughout my career when I played. When you think about Lamar Jackson, you know, as a recent, or even Michael Vick back in the day, it's a problem because most defenses, you don't account for the quarterback at all in the run game. And anytime a guy like that can be the X factor with his legs, plus on what he's been able to do from the pocket as far as maturing, it is going to be a problem, and because you always have a chance. There's always a possibility for him to scramble and turn something in from, you know, maybe a 2 or 3 yard gain if it's like a normal cat, you know, back there running around, to a 50-yard touchdown. And it's just really frustrating because as a defensive end or somebody that's rushing the passer, you could do everything right. And because he has this superhuman ability to make you look silly and still be able to have the patience in the eyes to go downfield, it's just frustrating.
Lorenzo Alexander, our guest here on Bickley and Murata Mornings. On the other side, I mean, I'm sure Minnesota's frustrated with the way that game ended. But for the Cardinals, and I mean, you spent so much time in the league, and I'm sure you had those games where your team walked away with the win, and you felt like, all right, maybe we got away with one. When you have that feeling, Zoe, what does it do? What can it do for the psyche of a football team moving forward when you steal one of those?
Right. Well, first of all, it's always better to learn when you win than to learn in a loss.
Yes.
Because obviously these W's count and add up, especially when, you know, as tight as this NFC West is going to be down as far as playoffs and, you know, field position or playoff position and all that type of stuff. But I think if you are a true competitor and a true craftsman of your skill set in your profession, that you have to be real with yourself. You have to be aware about how you actually played and be humble enough to grow in that and not allow the win to blind you or become a blind spot to some of the flaws that you may have presented. You know, and obviously, like, defensively, guys being out of the run gaps, some mental errors coming up, maybe some technique stuff showing its head that's not allowing you to make plays. You have to make sure that you don't allow the win to cloud your perspective on those things and make you feel like, well, we won, so I'm okay, right? Where in reality, those things put you in that position because this, you know, when you look at this game, they played well enough to win because they won. They put themselves in the position where they put, put the field goal kicker on the line. But, you know, whether it was turnovers, whether it was not being in a run gap to be able to tackle a guy, getting your hands off, you know, obviously coverage early on in that game and be able to set the tone, which was much different than in the Tennessee Titans game when they came out, stuffed the run, shut them down. So that confidence wasn't there. So there's just a couple of things, and they're little things, but the little things add up to big things, especially in the NFL when wins are, you know, one, you know, that line is very incremental as far as you winning or losing, as we saw in the game.
It seems to me that Isaiah Simmons is playing with his speed and he's playing fast and he's putting a helmet on guys, but Zaven Collins, the snaps are not there, which is kind of interesting. And in week one, they said, well, it's because we got a big lead on Tennessee, and they went to throwing, and we went nickel a dime, and so we couldn't put him on the field there. He didn't start yesterday. What do you think's happening with Zaven Collins?
He's just a rookie that's not ready yet, and that happens. I mean, I think we have kind of transitioned to this time where we want, you know, all our young guys to play. But there was a once upon a time when I got in the league, Sean Taylor wasn't the starter. He was covering kicks. And developed into the best safety that we knew. But he wasn't a starter for the Washington football team when he first got in the league. And I think we have, you know, started to lie to ourselves, like we're paying these guys these money, so they're going to be ready or be better than the person or the option in front of us, where we all know experience can overcome, you know, athleticism and size and talent any day of the week. And so I think that needs to be some grace period. I think Zaven needs to continue to obviously work on his fundamentals, hands, eyes, understanding the defense and putting himself in great position, especially in pass coverage, because we all know he can come downhill. But while he's working, while he's waiting, he needs to be working, and I think he needs to be on special teams. And I don't know if he's covering kicks or punts. I was going to actually look at that today, because that's what Isaiah Simmons did last year after he had that bad game versus the 49ers, and they benched him for the most part of the season and played him incrementally. He started covering kickoffs and being on the punt team, and that's where I think Zaven can make his presence known, because he's a big body that can run. He can create some mismatches there and still contribute to the team. Not the way he wants to, but at least he's out there on the field getting acclimated to the speed of the game in space, which is going to then later on add to his game as a linebacker.
Lorenzo Alexander, our guest here on Bickley and Murata Mornings. All that being said, Zoe, the Cardinals were so definitive right after they drafted Zaven Collins. He's our starter day one. It became a story.
Right.
It created a situation with Jordan Hicks. I believe that was a huge mistake when it happened, and obviously we're seeing the results of that. I mean, what can be gained by making a proclamation that early on a player that you really haven't seen play at the NFL level?
Nothing. I mean, nothing at all. I can't even think of a good situation outside of, you know, this is our guy, we're this sure about him. But, I mean, you just never know what can happen and what can transpire, and you put yourself in a bad spot. So, and, you know, the NFL is based on competition. You know, Wolf talks about it all the time. As far as players concerned, it is a meritocracy, and it comes out in practice, in games, you know, in the meeting rooms, and it really adds a lot of pressure to the rookie, because now, oh, I'm the starter, I'm coming in, and you already have a veteran that was there that's done it for a long time at a great level. That puts a lot of pressure on a guy like that. So I think it's only negative things that can really come out of it. So obviously you have to just kind of go with the situation. It's out there now, and he has to just not allow that pressure to overcome him where he can't continue to get better as a football player.
All right, you've been on good teams, you've been on not so good teams. If you were a Cardinals fan, how excited would you be by the first 2 weeks of this season?
I am a Cardinals fan, but I'm a player, so I have an internal perspective right. of what goes on, right? And so I even as much as I hate to say this, you always hear not too high, not too low. This team still hasn't defined itself, right? And when you're in the locker room, as far as film, it's always 4 weeks. 4 weeks you start to see a trend. 2 weeks really doesn't really tell you anything. You can see some sparks here and there. Like, we know Kyler has grown from the pocket, and we want to continue to see him develop there. He had a couple of mistakes, but what I really loved was how he responded to adversity. Last year, I think he would have shut down at some point, and they would have lost that game, or he wouldn't have continued to play and bounce back. I really like what I see from Rondale Moore and how he's been explosive and giving them opportunities down the field and making some big plays with his legs. And then defensively, I'm kind of unsure because we saw Jekyll and Hyde, right? We saw last week, the 5 sacks, which I know is an outlier, but they only had 1 sack this week, and the pressure wasn't quite there up the middle, which I thought they would dominate, especially when you think about the interior linemen they have, and they didn't create any turnovers. So I want to see how this continues to develop over the next 2 weeks. Was this the anomaly this past week, or was the first week the anomaly as far as who they're going to be defensively? So for me, my judgment is still out, but I'm very hopeful. I like what I see, especially from QB1 and what he's been able to do, throwing that rock around. And let me say this, Chase Edmonds, I love his vibe, the way he's been running the rock. Yeah. I think he's averaging over 5 yards a carry. And he had a big – and I don't know if anybody caught this on that pass where the zero blitz. He actually, and I don't know if they coached this, and so I would love to be able to ask Cliff this. He like fake blocked Harrison and then went and got the other linebacker, and it slowed down Harrison just enough for Kyler Murray to get the ball off. So it just some of those things that go unseen in the game that really showed up. Chase Edmonds is doing it in the run game as well as protecting the passer.
Well, your Bills got all after Tua yesterday, so I know you're a happy guy.
Yeah. I just got to figure out how to beat an 8-year-old now, and I'd be good to go.
Thank you, Zoe.
Thanks for the time, as always. Lorenzo Alexander, our guest here on Bickley and Murata Mornings. You can text your thoughts to the FanDuel text line. It's open right now at 620. Your Rush Hour reboot is next. It's Bickley and Murata Mornings, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Rush Hour Reboot. Rush Hour Reboot. Getting you up to speed on everything happening in sports this morning. Brought to you by Brooklyn Betting. That's American-owned and American-dreamed Brooklyn Betting.
Every morning, Sarah Cazell takes us through the big stories of the day with her own personal touch to it. It's the Rush Hour Reboot, and it happens right now. Hi, Sarah.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hi.
Put your seatbelts on, everybody.
Let's do it.
And crank that radio up. It is the Rush Hour Reboot. Let's go on Bickley and Murata Mornings. Now, Lorenzo Alexander was just on with us, just in the last segment, reacting to the Cardinals' Week 2 win yesterday and how they were basically able to steal the win from the Vikings. Now, Zoe, as a former NFL player himself, he said, enjoy the win, celebrate the win, but don't let it trick you and your teammates into thinking there's nothing to work on. Here, Zoe.
I think if you are a true competitor and a true craftsman of your skill set in your profession, that you have to be real with yourself. You have to be aware about how you actually played and be humble enough to grow in that and not allow the win to blind you or become a blind spot to some of the flaws that you may have presented.
Okay, no blindness here. What do you hope the Cardinals learn from this win?
I mean, I'll start with Kyler Murray. I mean, I know his confidence is up, but when he's got all that time to survey things, I hope he learns that this is still the NFL and you got highly talented defenders on the other side. And just because you feel confident you could squeeze a ball into a tight window, you can't always do it.
Yeah.
I hope that they learn that clock management is extremely important, especially in the second half of football games.
Mm-hmm. And especially Vince, under 3 minutes to go.
That too. Yeah, not to put too fine of a point on it, but especially then.
Yeah, and Vince, to your point, trying to squeeze those balls into tight windows, just because you sometimes can doesn't mean you always should.
Yes.
Yeah, that's well said. Let's that's very that true.
And
yeah.
You eliminate the three picks in weeks 1 and 2 for Kyler Murray, and you're talking about a nearly perfect
that's
resume.
That's a good point. That's a good point, because I bet you that applies to Zach Wilson yesterday. Yes. There probably throws he looked at and said, I can do that. But sure you do that.
Later?
That would have been a touchdown against San Jose
that's right.
State.
That's right.
Or against half of the Pac-12. Ouch, right. BYU. All right. Well, is there anything that you guys saw from the Cardinals' Week 1 win that they fixed or remedied for Week 2 yesterday? Or are you seeing repeated mistakes that you're like, come on, guys, let's do this.
I mean, on the flip side of it, I mean, they're averaging 445 yards and 36 points a game through 2 weeks. You have to be ecstatic about that.
Oh, sure.
Timeout usage. Still odd.
Very odd.
That was odd, yeah.
Yes. Well, the whole mechanism of play calling, getting the right personnel groups in, and doing it on a timely fashion that allows, you know, that doesn't turn into fire drills at the line of scrimmage. Yeah, that's something you got to clean up.
Okay. You guys mentioned Kyler Murray, but let's dive into that a little bit deeper. He had some just unbelievable moments yesterday. Unbelievable scrambling, crossbody throws just before a halftime to hit Rondale Moore. That was amazing. But he also had some frustrating moments, 2 interceptions, both of which led to points for the other team. Here is Kyler reacting to his own performance after the game.
Definitely frustrated, but understanding, you know, guys telling me, you know, which I understand, it's not easy to win this league. So you just got to take the good with the bad. You got to go back to work next week, but enjoy the win.
Okay, let's take the good with the bad. What did you love about Kyler's game yesterday? And already covered a little bit. What frustrated you about him?
Oh, just the electric nature of the plays that he's able to make when it seems like there's nothing there, or Dave Pasch had a great call on one of those where he said 99% of the quarterbacks on the planet get sacked. Kyler Murray throws a touchdown pass.
Yeah.
That was it in a nutshell for me.
I have a hard time being really critical of anything he did yesterday, because the plays he made were so integral to them winning. And look, he's not going to be perfect. That second interception, I think, was a bad decision.
Mm-hmm.
But, just that. I would just say, I would say, as we talked about earlier, the one thing he just needs to master now is when he does have a clean pocket, not to force anything, just to stay patient.
Yes. Yeah. Great call. And now let's move on to the college game. ASU football loses to BYU, both ranked teams in Provo over the weekend. The Cougars move up in the rankings and ASU drops from number 19 to out of the poll. Still receiving a lot of votes, though. Here is head coach Herm Edwards after the loss.
We have to get better within ourselves. We got to fix it. We got to fix our problems. Turn the ball over. And obviously, penalties. I mean, if we can fix that, then this game's a different game. You know, but it's not. I mean, we did it to ourselves, and I got to get it fixed.
Okay, so that was a little tough to hear, but as he said at the end, penalties. If we can fix that, we win the game. But it feels like this is the third straight week that we're hearing that from ASU and Herm Edwards.
Mm-hmm.
Let's start with you, Vince. What do you make of that loss?
It was awful. It was terrible. I don't think this is a very good football team. And you could sit here and talk about what you need to fix. Like I've been saying for the last 30-plus years, if I just fixed my face, I'd be a supermodel. But I haven't fixed it yet.
Vince, you're gorgeous. Don't say that about yourself.
Fix it. Stop talking about fixing things and fix them.
Mm-hmm.
It's a maddening, maddening football team to watch.
Well, yeah, that's my biggest takeaway is how does a team with so much experience do so many stupid things?
Yeah.
The amount of penalties they're taking, it's crazy. You get 4 false start penalties. I get the crowd in Provo can be very loud.
Sure.
But you're talking about an offense with a ton of experience. You should be able to handle that.
Yeah.
And not get 4 false starts in the span of 6 plays.
What was the excuse for all the mishaps in the first 2 home games?
Yeah.
Was that Southern Utah crowd making too much noise for you? Sorry, I'm frustrated.
No, no, listen, man. You know this as well as I did. The reactions from some Sun Devil fans was just absolutely priceless yesterday. The anger that was out there after that game was just palpable. I pinned a couple of them. I'll find them later.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah. There were some nasty tweets showing up in my timeline, too. Let's go back to the NFL for just a second. Back to the NFC West specifically. So the Cardinals win. The Rams win. The Niners win. The Seahawks lose to the Titans in overtime 33-30. Who do you think through 2 weeks is the best team in the division right now?
The Rams' defense yesterday was very uncharacteristic. They gave up a lot of passing plays, big plays and all that. So I'm still going to vote the Rams. The 49ers, yeah, nah, I don't know. I don't know what that quarterback situation is going to mean to the ceiling of that football team. Mm. So right now I'm going to go Rams, Cardinals, 49ers, Seahawks.
No, okay. I'm gonna say 49ers. The Rams are right there. They got a really tough one against Tampa Bay this week. Indianapolis shot themselves in the foot plenty of times in that game. That was a winnable game for them. It's a tight margin, but I'll give the advantage to San Francisco.
Okay, there we go.
All right.
Hey, consider yourself
rebooted.
Whoa! Thank you, Sarah. Wow.
Thanks, guys. We call that synergy.
Yes. When it comes to wins in the NFL, you never have to say you're sorry when you get one. Beck elaborates more in The Blast straight ahead. It's Bickley and Murata Mornings on this Big Red Monday, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.